Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Vladimir Lenin's seminal work, What is to be Done, is an essential read for anyone interested in Marxist theory, revolutionary politics, and the path towards establishing a socialist society. Written in 1902. The book outlines Lenin's vision for a revolutionary party and the need for an organized, disciplined vanguard to lead the proletariat towards a successful overthrow of the existing capitalist structures. The book comes at a crucial period in Russian history, predating the Russian Revolution of 1917, where Lenin critiques the prevailing tendencies within the socialist movement of his time. Lenin stresses the need for a cohesive strategy and theoretical unity among revolutionaries, emphasizing the significance of raising class consciousness among workers as a step that precedes and ensures a successful political struggle. Through analytical precision, Lenin argues against spontaneous movements led by unprepared individuals and puts forth a blueprint for a professional revolutionary organization. This work is not only a blueprint for Russian communists back then, but continues to serve as a guide for modern political revolutionaries and academicians studying the evolution of socialist thought. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the need for a vanguard party, one of the central messages in What is to be Done. He argues that a well-organized group of dedicated individuals is necessary to guide the less politically developed population towards revolution. The vanguard party is envisaged as the political nucleus that comprehends the broader historical processes and has the strategic vision to lead the masses. Lenin positions the vanguard as distinct from spontaneous grassroots movements, which he believed lacked the coherence and discipline necessary for a successful revolution. By advocating for this structured approach, Lenin underscores the need for an educated cadre that is fully devoted to the cause, equipped with theoretical and practical expertise in implementing Marxism. This emphasis on professionalism is crucial, as it ensures that the leadership remains focused and unyielding in its mission, providing strategic direction while ensuring adherence to the principles of proletarian revolution. Lenin views spontaneous rebellion as flawed because, without theoretical understanding, it is easily diverted or suppressed by ruling class powers. Thus, in a vanguard party, individual thoughts are synthesized into a cohesive, actionable plan that aligns with Marxist ideology. This principle has resonated throughout various communist movements around the world as they seek to replicate or reinterpret Lenin's original strategy to suit local contexts. Secondly, critique of economic struggle alone, Lenin criticizes the tendency of some socialists to focus solely on economic struggles, i.e., labor compensation, working conditions, without tying these struggles to political aims. He argues that while economic grievances are the starting point for the workers' movement, limiting action to these improvements alone does not challenge the overarching capitalist structures. Lenin emphasizes that economic struggle should be interconnected with the political movement, and the working class should be oriented towards broader revolutionary goals. This interconnection is vital as it transforms the struggle from mere economism to a political revolution aimed at dismantling capitalist exploitation itself. Moreover, Lenin points out that, without addressing political power, economic concessions alone are merely transient solutions that can be rolled back once capitalists consolidate their strength. His critique is laid out on the premise that economic struggles devoid of political context work inadvertently to soften workers' demands and make them complacent within existing exploitative systems. Indeed, he insists on the necessity for the proletariat to campaign politically for changes that ensure they hold power within the societal structure. By emphasizing this critique, Lenin provides a broader understanding of revolutionary action, drawing attention to the necessity of political activism beyond the bounds of economic constraints, thus ensuring a holistic approach aimed at a systemic overhaul of an inequitable power structure. Thirdly, importance of propaganda and agitation. In What is to be Done, Lenin explores the distinct roles of propaganda and agitation in advancing socialist aims. He differentiates between propaganda, which involves disseminating ideas to educate and inform the populace about socialist ideology, and agitation, which serves to incite active participation and action among the masses. Lenin argues that effective propaganda and agitation are crucial for raising class consciousness and preparing the working class for a revolutionary struggle. Propaganda, in Lenin's view, should be focused on providing a clear understanding of social injustices and the nature of capitalist exploitation. Its purpose is to equip individuals with the knowledge necessary to comprehend the causes of their oppression. Agitation, on the other hand, is aimed more at stirring emotions, generating discontent, and motivating immediate action, be that mass protests, strikes, or demonstrations. Lenin emphasizes that these roles must not be confused. Effective revolutionary activity arises from a balance of the two. In his strategy, propaganda lays the groundwork for informed dissent while agitation catalyzes action. The synchronization of these elements is aimed at creating a unified, conscious, and active working class that is ready to challenge the status quo by emphasizing the distinction and importance of both. Lenin articulates a powerful tool chest for revolutionaries seeking to convert ideological foundations into tangible political movement and change. Fourthly, role of intellectuals in the movement. Lenin also addresses the role of intellectuals within the revolutionary movement, stressing their importance in both the formulation and dissemination of socialist ideas. He argues that intellectuals have a pivotal role in bridging theory and praxis, translating detailed Marxist analyses into actionable strategies and educational tools for the proletariat, however. Lenin cautions against becoming disconnected from the everyday struggles of the working class. He posits that intellectuals must immerse themselves in the workers' milieu to ensure their ideas are grounded and relevant to the immediate and practical concerns of the masses. Furthermore, they should work alongside working-class leaders, fostering an exchange of experiences and knowledge that enriches both sectors of the movement. Essentially, Lenin views intellectuals as facilitators of both ideology and organizational strategy. They are not separate or aloof, but integral to the creation of a conscious and educated revolutionary base. This dynamic interaction aims to prevent the ossification of revolutionary ideas and keeps the movement adaptive to new challenges. Thus, Lenin insists on a voluntary and conscious integration where intellectuals and workers unify their distinct capabilities toward a common revolutionary objective. This cohesion is intended to ensure that actions taken are intellectually sound and strategically directed, elevating the overall effectiveness of the socialist cause. Lastly, Lenin's position on party organization, in What Is to Be Done. Lenin emphasizes the need for a centralized and hierarchical party organization to effectively carry out the revolutionary agenda. He envisions a tightly knit organizational structure, characterized by strong leadership and clear lines of command, that can respond efficiently to political opportunities and threats. This vision of organization is in stark contrast to the loose and often fragmented structures of socialist groups at his time, which Lenin believed were incapable of sustaining prolonged revolutionary activity. He advocates for a cadre-based party structure where membership is selective and predicated upon an individual's dedication and active participation in revolutionary work. This not only ensures commitment, but also that members are well-trained and politically mature. Under such a model, the party operates as a coherent body capable of executing strategic decisions with little internal dissent. Moreover, Lenin places a significant emphasis on strict discipline within the party ranks, arguing that this is essential for maintaining unity and order. He recognizes that a disorganized party susceptible to internal fractures, ideological deviation, or factionalism would severely undermine the revolutionary cause. By prioritizing unity and discipline, Lenin's organizational strategy is aimed at creating a robust entity that can sustain momentum, implement effective measures, and ultimately lead the proletariat towards seizing political power from the bourgeoisie. In conclusion, What Is to Be Done is a profound text for those interested in political theory, Marxism, and revolutionary praxis. It lays out a comprehensive argument for how political movements can and should be organized to effect meaningful societal change. Lenin's ideas continue to resonate, not only as historical precedent, but as a blueprint for contemporary movements seeking to challenge the status quo, readers who are activists, students of political science, or individuals seeking to understand the structure behind successful revolutionary movements will find this book immensely beneficial. The book provides insight into the mechanisms behind political organization, strategic agitation, and the cultivation of class consciousness, which are essential for understanding the broader field of social movements and transformation. Furthermore, by integrating theory with actionable steps, What Is to Be Done serves as an enduring reference point for anyone committed to understanding or participating in transformative political endeavors. The book challenges readers to broaden their approach to social issues, emphasizing the importance of cohesive strategy, disciplined organization. If you would like to support Vladimir Lenin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.